Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noise Era, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I have titled this episode, Domestic Schisms, Biohacking Bloodlines, and Planned Obsolescence. Why? Well, with society heading towards automation, people are losing themselves. People are most assuredly losing themselves. And in the case of California, paradise is now gone. We are seeing what happens as we move forward into this new world order. There are a lot of things to discuss in this edition. Them closing the ports of entry, all the asylum seekers, red flag, gun confiscation laws, lab-grown muscles, half-human, half-pig mutants, transgenderism, transhumanism, autonomous societies, and so much more in this edition. But first, I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving, or Indigenous Day, or whichever holiday you choose to celebrate. I know times are political, times are kind of crazy, and people really haven't taken the time to feel the festive energy and holiday spirit, and we go over that in this edition. And all I want to say before we start the show is that regardless of what we see taking place, we are the arbiters of our future. We can create a better tomorrow, and in this culture war that we are involved in, all we have to do is choose optimism, positivity, and creativity. With that being said, you guys may have noticed that it is Black Friday going into Cyber Monday. We are running a special for exclusive members. You can get access to the Tier 1 slot of exclusive membership, as well as Seasons 1 through 6 of our previous podcast episodes, as well as our Building the Matrix documentary. I'll put the link for that in the description bar below so you guys can check it out. But with that being said, let's start the show. Salutations, my friends. That's right. We're here with you good folks after holidays, or at least after Thanksgiving, still talk about what's going on. Now, I know this time of year always gets a little bit crazy, and it always gets a little bit different because people, they want to know what's going on, but at the same time, they're trying to turn off and start for the next year. This time period in America is very difficult, and I've been talking about it basically leading up to this episode in many casts and in our Instagram story with you good people. You know, it doesn't really necessarily feel like the holiday season. It doesn't really feel festive. It doesn't feel awesome. It doesn't feel loving, warming, awesome, and engaging. You know, it doesn't feel like positive. And, you know, I know this was something I said I wanted to work on with season 7. But we really do need to start pushing out a little bit more, I guess, like culture. Because that's essentially what we're engaged in, is a culture war. Politics is a discussion of policies, how things are going to happen, how people feel about things. You're hearing me talk about it all the time. Vote with your dollars. Vote with your lifestyle. What values, what ideas, what morals, what are we bringing into this new world order? You see, nobody really thinks about it because it's happening so fast. Well, I tell you what, I think about it. And that's why I'm here with you good people. And with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noise Era, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and we have a lot of things to discuss. Seems like our country is losing its mind. And, well, that's good. You know, I'll say this and I'll jump into it. I was reading an article from Charisma News earlier this morning, and it was talking about how, you know, I know this is going to sound strange, but it's like I'm thankful for atheists, Satanists, leftists, and all these other people out there, right? And I thought, wow, whoa, that's crazy enough to make me read. And I did. And basically what they talked about is how these evil powers, these things that are being present, you know, these things that are manifesting, these things that are kind of disrupting and agitating everything around us, all it's really doing, as I said before, is bringing out the best and the worst. People are rising to the occasion. And that's most assuredly what we're seeing today. Thankful for them, because without the problem, could we not have a solution? Without the chaos, could we not come through with the order? And for people who are familiar with that, you know, I know this sounds like Freemasonry and Illuminati talk, but that's definitely what we see happening today. Now, let's go ahead and get the episode started. There was some crazy news that popped up, as always. That's basically why we're here, to talk about the summarization of crazy news, what's going on in the world. We recently had on a Proud Boy on Fellowship and Freedom. I advise you guys to go back and listen to that episode. Very powerful, very informative, and it makes me very proud of New Mexico as well as America. But within the time frame of having this Proud Boy on the show, we are now hearing how the Proud Boys have been labeled a domestic terrorist group, an extremist group by the FBI. The Proud Boys, a self-described Western chauvinist group founded by Vice Media co-creator Gavin McGinnis, has officially been labeled by the FBI as an extremist group with ties to white nationalism. News of the classification, which had previously not been made public, was broken by The Guardian, which reported the disciplinary action taken against a female sheriff's deputy in Clark County, Washington, led to the designation. So, I'll get into this. This is from Zero Hedge. It's by Tyler Durden. We put this up November 20th. I wasn't really sure, you know, what to kind of make of this. How do you retroactively get considered an extremist? You know, how do you join a group and then months later or years later, you are now part of a extremist group? Well, I think we should ask Antifa what that's like, because now you either have to double down or you have to pull out. Who are you? You see, and I kind of feel like that's what a lot of this boils down to, because at the end of the day, the government is the biggest gang, just as the police are as well. An extension of this, the biggest gang ever. They have to identify their enemies. And you know, I've talked to people on the side, kind of, you know, what their thoughts are about this, you know, where they're going to go from here. And you got to think what happened, too, because of this. Gavin McGinnis actually stepped down as the leader of the Proud Boys, right? So now they are not necessarily rudderless, but there's a vacuum, a void there. And people are going to want to try to strive for power. Somebody's going to want to control this thing. What I'm trying to say is the Proud Boys has been created as a response to things like Antifa. And now that they don't necessarily have like a designated leader, somebody that can speak for them, a spokesperson, they're formless. And so now there's going to be individual sects or individual groups of the Proud Boys, right? Different variations of the Proud Boys that have that kind of core concept of Americana. And I say all this because as a response to Antifa, we now have to look at how things are going to spiral out from here. Okay, and what I mean, again, even deeper at that, is look at how George Soros has controlled Black Lives Matter. Look at how George Soros has controlled Antifa. Look at how George Soros controls Indivisible, all these other overnight resistance groups, air quotes. This is very dangerous territory because now we're moving into the time frame to where something that could be actually beneficial to America, to our current generation, has now been destroyed. But let me get into this article right here. It says that in a warning issued to police departments in Washington State, the FBI described the Proud Boys as contributing to the escalation in street violence at political rallies and noted that they are actively recruiting in the area. The report was first issued 2 months ago. Quote, the FBI has warned local law enforcement agencies that the Proud Boys are actively recruiting in the Pacific Northwest and, quote, Proud Boys members have contributed to the recent escalation of violence at political rallies held on college campuses and in cities like Charlottesville, Virginia, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. Of course, this isn't the first time that a conservative or, quote, alt-right group like the Proud Boys has been lumped in with overtly racist, white supremacist, or otherwise extremist groups. The Proud Boys have repeatedly insisted that they condemn bigotry in all its forms, though their embrace of traditional gender roles has led them to also being labeled misogynist. However, the involvement of the FBI represents a troubling escalation. In recent years, organizations like the ACLU and SPLC have started lumping in socially and politically conservative groups like the Family Research Council like the Family Research Council, with overtly racist groups, effectively opening the door to criminalization of conservative groups. Meanwhile, groups like Antifa, which regularly participate in street violence and vandalism, have evaded this classification despite warnings from the Department of Homeland Security. Now again, this is very dangerous stuff if you ask me, because we don't really have people who are saying, hey, you know, let's just... I just want to love my country, and I just want to love my childhood, I just want to love where I came from, and I want to try to do things a little bit different. But no, can't do that. We can't have anything that we're proud of, because in this future that they're trying to build, they, as you hear me keep talking about, they want to destroy race, nationality, gender, anything that can give you something to be proud of other than the state. Now, we'll keep our eye on this as the story develops, because I feel like there's a lot more that's going to come with it. But let's kind of, again, continue the episode. Let's start talking about other things that are happening. Now, because we can't have, because we're not allowed to protect ourselves with guns, because we're not allowed to have borders, because we're not allowed to really speak up about any of the infiltration that's taking place, well, what I'm trying to say is now the migrant caravan has reached our border, and we're not necessarily sure what to do, but they have decided to close the port of entry because they know that people are going to rush the border. Let's take a listen.
What you see here is the United States sending a message to Mexico City. Unless you solve your problem on your southern border, you're going to have a problem with your northern neighbor. So what you see here is the United States is narrowing the amount of territory it has to defend in case, indeed, the migrant caravan tries to come to the border, have a sit-in, or literally run the border here at the port of entry in San Ysidro. The Mexicans have already helped out. They've shut down four lanes of traffic here. So they brought in these barriers in case the people come up. Then they got these ones here they can bring in very quickly, mobilize, and literally move them right over here. What the United States did today, they've never done before here, shut down the border for 5 hours. So they can bring in more K-rails with these concrete barriers and Constantino wire. I want to show you some video that we shot yesterday of how irate people here in Tijuana already are with the caravan. There were maybe 1,000 very passionate people throwing water bottles.
Very passionate. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and jump there. For our audio listeners, what you would have seen is metal, giant metal plates, basically giant metal guards stopping traffic, and this is again their attempt to try to funnel the caravan. Now, because this is evolving every single day, you know, Jim Acosta thinks it's you know, forever away. It's now here. They've arrived. These migrants have arrived. I'm going to play for you guys some quick footage of them actually hopping the border and coming over here into America. And this is important because we need to document this type of stuff. People will say, oh, it's fake news, it didn't happen. Well, I would actually disagree, because you know what we're seeing right now is just that. Not necessarily an invasion, I'll read an article right after this, but a agenda, so to speak. I've talked about it up to this. The North American Union, the idea of just combining Canada, Mexico, and America. And it's important that we talk about this, because here, let me just play this clip for you.
Dura papi, puro dura, puro catracho.
And they're celebrating. They're happy that they're on the other side of the border. They made it. Okay. Because I don't want to sound like some kind of crazy racist or anybody that's not understanding of the situation. You know, a lot of these people are coming, again, to come work. I can respect that. We need it. But we also need to talk about, in relation to this, is where are they going to work? Amazon is taking over everything. They have literally dominion over Walmart these days. So where are these people going to work? There's not a lot of jobs here for them. And on top of that, what's happening with America's homeless crisis? You know, we could go on for days about that. And now you have Trump actually authorizing lethal force against the migrants there, because he's really trying to apparently either flex the military or let people know that he's not playing around. In California, there is a judge that stopped the ban on asylum seekers as well. So this, again, kind of leads credence to my theory that they're going to go up California while they're going through this whole wildfire and then try to take over everything that's over there. You also have Trump withdrawing non-essential troops from the border, okay? And I think that's important to talk about, because what I feel like we're seeing right now is just that. We're preparing for some kind of confrontation on the border. We're preparing for some kind of interaction, because as I said before, 80% of these people are going to be rejected. What's going to happen whenever that actually smashes? Like, what's that going to look like? These are people who were genuinely, like, come in here. Okay, you have other people who are coming here to work. You have people who are trying to start a new life. You have people who are here who are trying to just destroy and infiltrate. We have so many different things to look at. And if you take it back to Trump's presidency, when he started, he talked about extreme vetting, because now these are all very present issues that I don't think a lot of people take the time to answer. But again, people have to ask the question, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? Why are we dealing with these migrants? Where are these people coming from? Who authorized these types of things? Why are they being shuffled across the entire country? Why is this type of stuff basically being allowed? Well, I'm glad you good people asked, because if you go to the Agenda 21 documents, you will see that it is what? I have them written down right here. And these are just a few to point out, really, to really just kind of, you know, illustrate what's going on that we're abided by, because our borders are not controlled by us. Okay, let's make that. I kind of want to get that on record too. It's your taxpaying dollars, right? Your taxpaying money that goes to the State Department, which goes to the United Nations, which funds these next three goals: the sustainable developmental goals, the SDGs, goals number 19 or goals number 9. Building resilient infrastructure. Goal number 11, making cities and human settlements inclusive. Goal number 16, promoting peaceful and inclusive societies. Now, when we look at the wording of a lot of this stuff, we have to understand that inclusive means we're letting everybody in. There is no time in the New World Order, there is no bigotry, there is no hate, there is no anything else. And yes, this sounds like it's monumental. Great. But we have to look at what this means for the rest of the people. This is what I mean by the multicultural agenda. They're trying to make somehow trying to make migration like a right. There's so, like, you know how we always talk about Americans can't go someplace else and, you know, get all this kind of treatment. Well, they're trying to fix that. When I talk about Obama basically being the president that was supposed to lead us down to third world status to get us kind of on board with everybody else around the world, and Trump was supposed to come through and just do something to kind of lift us aboard, right? That last gasp right before we kind of keel over. That's where we're at right now. We're seeing this development of nationalism, globalism, the New World Order, and everything else. Here, let me get into this article. You guys can go look this up on our website, because I didn't have the time to post it. It's by Baxter Dimitri of Newspunch. It says, UN Global Pact vows to open borders and make migration a human right. A new UN agreement, which almost all member states plan to sign in December, propagates the radical idea that the borders must be opened and a new world created, where mass migration, for any reason, is something that must be promoted, enabled, and enshrined as a human right. The agreement also directs national governments to defund and suppress all forms of counter-expression to mass migration within the countries. Critics who oppose migration and open borders should undergo sensitization training. According to the text of the agreement, free speech will die. Unsurprisingly, none of the countries that plan on signing the migration agreement have consulted their citizens regarding whether they want to open their borders to mass migration. The global pact is being signed in secret without public debate. So whenever you're seeing a lot of this stuff take place, It's not for political theater. It's for it's to show people, look, these things are happening behind the scenes. You have to get you have to deal with it. The UN controls your borders. Okay, they're saying, hey, if you don't like where you live, go someplace else. We never asked the question of why all these people come here in America in the first place. Why the Chinese, why the North Koreans leave Kim Jong-un to come to America? We're not even talking about that. Why do Mexicans leave Mexico to come to America? And I'm not trying to get up over here and again, grandstand and talk about how great America is. What I'm trying to say is, in relation to all this, we are going towards a decline. The values that we normally stood for, they're declining. Our IQ rates are dropping. Don't even get me started on the spirituality, religion, and things of this nature. We're adrift. We're not really aware of what's going on. As I talked about at the start of the show, we're seeing, even right now, as you're listening to this episode, it was just Thanksgiving yesterday. The day I'm recording, a day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And people are more concerned with politics than they are their spirit, their soul. This truly is a spiritual battle. But to get back to point, what we're seeing right now, people have surrendered their power. People have surrendered their individuality. If you don't like who you are, abdicate it, give it over, become somebody else new, as approved by Twitter, Google, Facebook, and all these things. Let me get back to point. I digress. Because you can even look at some of this migration stuff. It's very important. You know, we didn't really talk about it. We haven't talked about it all year, but obviously we keep track on it. The whole idea behind it is to, again, get rid of America, get rid of nationalism, come up with internationalism, globalism, and this idea of the New World Order, a one world religion, a one world government created by the United Nations. They want to have people to where they can just migrate and move, and this is why you hear them talking about things like climate change and global warming in relation to mass migration. Because what they'll see, and the ultimate goal behind this, is to keep people in these populated centers. What you'll see is more unnatural disasters like we're seeing in California, and like we've saw with Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, what happened in Puerto Rico and everything else. You'll see more of these unnatural disasters happen to where people cannot live there anymore, and they have to travel to places like America, to where they have to travel to places like Europe, to where they have to travel to places like Russia. And unfortunately, these are not places that are taking in migrants. These are not places that are abiding by these types of things. But because we are a politically correct run nation these days, and we're having to break this schism, it kind of escapes people what's going on. But let me get back into this article on how they are literally signing in secret the right for people to travel in mass migration. That's why it's important. People don't think about it, but this is, again, an agenda of them not destroying your borders, but redefining what your nation is doing. Continuing on, it says the unelected UN elites and their obedient vassal states understand that the public debate risks jeopardizing their project. But do not be deceived into thinking that the agreement will hold little power if it is allowed to proceed. The creators of the agreement are even boasting about the real change that will result from the secret global pact. The finalized text of the agreement, the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, is a step towards the elimination of functioning borders and, quote, puts migration firmly on the global agenda. It will be a point of reference for years to come and induce real change on the ground. According to Jörg Lauber, the representative of Switzerland to the UN, who led work on the agreement together with a representative of Mexico, it cannot be stressed enough that this agreement is not about refugees fleeing persecution or their rights to protection under international law. Instead, the agreement propagates the radical idea that migration, for any reason, is something that needs to be promoted, enabled, and protected. Almost all UN member states, except for the United States, Austria, Australia, Croatia, Hungary, and possibly also the Czech Republic and Poland, are expected to sign it. Gatestone reports the UN has denied that migration is being made into a human right. Quote, the question of whether this is an invidious way to start promoting a human right to migrate is not correct. It's not in the text. There's no sinister project to advance that. Luis Arbor, the UN representative for international migration recently said. So I'll put this link in the description bar below so you guys can go check this out, because it's a pretty lengthy article that go over it in depth, and they really, really break it down. You know, again, making it a human right, because they understand what's going on. People are fleeing their countries. People are waking up to what else is going on around the world, and they want to go do other things. This is Agenda 21. This is Agenda 2030. They want to have unilateral control over your life, over things like your ability to travel, over things like the resources, the weather, food, tools, so much more. If you guys have not downloaded Agenda 2030 or the Agenda 21 goals for sustainable development, please do so. You will be in for a ride, because that's exactly what we're doing right now. That's exactly where we are. I mean, what's even crazier too, with whenever midterm elections were happening, we heard a lot about Beto O'Rourke actually having an involvement with some of the migrants there as well. I think Project Veritas did a expose where they were actually able to infiltrate the organization, showing that indeed they were helping some of the migrants come through and giving them food, water, everything they need, giving them everything, just helping them get in, and then dropping them off in the middle of the country and letting them go. Let's see if we can pull this video up for you guys, because again, this is all important stuff that we need to have on record when talking about it. We put this up November 2nd, 2018. It's by Planet Free Will, and they reposted it from Zero Hedge. But it says, "Don't ever repeat this. Beto AIDS busted funneling caravan funds into in undercover sting."
For me, I can ignore the rules and I don't mind breaking the rules, and I can defend any position.
Yeah, I'm gonna use the vans too. So I'm probably use that. I can maybe use the vans.
Yeah.
We're gonna use that to give some of those immigrants rides to the airport, to the bus station. Why not?
Yeah.
But being nice, I'm done being professional. Because nothing is professional. None of this is like shit that there's a
money. Yeah, like, you know? I don't know, like, this one's wrap up. Like, if you just see my body for some event, like the Halloween events, because there's Black Walks coming up for Halloween.
Have you been able to go and, like, help out anymore with the other people?
Mm-hmm. I did yesterday. Tonight we get more. So it's, I don't know how it's going
to
go.
To meet you at more.
There's more.
I just don't have money that's going to
happen. What I want to go ahead and say is, I know people are going to come to the country and try to work, okay? As the UN wants to make it a global right for people to have the ability to mass migrate, people are going to come and go as they please, either legally or illegally. I think if people start out illegally, they're going to finish out illegally. It's very hard to kind of get back on path. What I'm trying to say is, these people are using the government to advance their own agendas, and I feel like that's very dangerous. On top of that, you know, what kind of freedom comes from the chains that they're offering? You see, so there's a lot of different things that come with this. And on top of that, you know, we're not talking about other issues here in the country that we need to deal with, like the homelessness crisis, the death toll that's going on in California, everything else. These are all issues that are being basically swept underneath the rug because we're playing favorites to some of these issues. And that's, again, a very dangerous thing. But let's get in with the time frame that we have. Let's get in some of the information regarding the fires that's going on in California and what that's actually doing to the country, or at least to the state, because again, this is devastating stuff. We talked about it in our previous episode, things like the directed energy weapons, how that creates uninhabitable zones, the whole agenda behind that and more, and again, how that's pushing people inland. But let's give you guys a quick update on the campfire. The death toll has risen to 76 in California with winds ahead.
Good evening, I'm Elaine.
Juan Quijano. It started 10 days ago as a brush fire in a remote area and soon exploded into the worst wildfire in California's history. The death toll, now in the dozens, is rising daily. The number of missing persons has climbed at an alarming and perplexing rate. The Northern California town of Paradise is essentially gone. President Trump on Saturday saw the devastation for himself, again suggesting better forest management could prevent such disasters. Governor Jerry Brown responded on Face the Nation.
And the president's talked about how our forests are managed. That's an element. But there's also the way the houses are built, the materials, what kind of vegetation is around. And there's also the changing climate, the increasing drought, and the lowered humidity and water vapor.
Meg Oliver now on the staggering losses and questions about the missing. As the search continues for... Good evening, I'm Elaine Quijano. It started 10 days ago.
Changing climate, forest management, Paradise is gone. These are all, again, there's so much happening. It's kind of devastating and crazy to watch. And I feel like, you know, as I've said before, we're in the eye of the hurricane. This stuff is crazy, you know, with so many people being involved with this. Who can come up with a solution? Who really has a solution for this? Here, I'm going to play for you guys a clip because this is something else I don't think people really thought about after all this chaos is taking place. You know, we saw it with Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, Maria, Katia, and everything else, with FEMA coming in to kind of set up Walmarts and set up other places, these shelters to have people. But what happens to the people who are displaced, who are affected by these types of things? I have a clip for you where these abnormal wildfires have left many displaced.
The word missing has a lot of people puzzled and horrified. Authorities say it's likely the result of confusion, duplicate entries, even misspellings. But as KPIX5's Wilson Walker shows us, it's also a sign of just how many people have been displaced.
Walmart and stuff, they're trying to evacuate that. And all those people are going to influx here probably pretty soon. This is about the last resort.
This is the Red Cross Evacuation Center in Gridley. It has had its own problems with that notorious sickness we've seen in other shelters, but this is where they are trying to house most of the survivors with no other options.
I mean, we didn't know what to do, where to go.
But the total Red Cross shelter population, fewer than 600 for a fire that displaced as many as 52,000 people. Where's everybody going?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. The good news is they're finding somewhere else to go.
So whittling down that staggering list of the missing is largely the task of trying to find survivors.
Well, the number of missing has a lot of people puzzled and horrified.
52,000 displaced. So we're getting crazy numbers here. They're saying that 76 have died, 52,000 have been displaced, over 600 are trying to find shelter. What is going on? Oh, but don't worry. You know, we should let more... We need to figure out what's going on with the migrant issue. We need to figure out what's going on with the people who are going to be impoverished due to this fire. We need to figure out so many different things in this country. This is why this segment is titled The Domestic Schism. They're not allowing people to stand for their own country while you can see them systematically figuring out ways to disenfranchise us from our power, to figure out ways to keep us enslaved. You see, this is what happens when we just continually see the abdication of our power, so to speak. This is what happens whenever psychopaths rule the world. There's no other way for me to say it. These people are crazy. And we will see them stop at... They will stop at nothing to have control. They don't want you to be proud of your country. They don't want you to be proud of your race. They don't want you to be proud of your gender. They don't want you to be proud of your family. They will destroy everything. What we are seeing right now, as I keep trying to talk about, is a physical manifestation of the spiritual warfare that is going on. But what's going to happen is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about things like this lab-grown muscle that has developed brains. I think that's a brain. I think that's crazy. A video came out from the Philippines of a half-human, half-pig mutant. And Celine Dion has launched a gender-neutral clothing line. All these things are crazy. So while you see them attacking us politically, they are now biologically assaulting us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. This is Freedom Faction on Factions of Freedom. We'll be right back, right after this. Salutations, my friends. I'm here to talk to you about, that's right, CBD oil. CBD oil can reduce the risk of relapse among alcohol and cocaine addicts, and you know they're trying to flood us with both. According to a 2013 study published in the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, CBD was proven to have these benefits: relieving pain and inflammation, having antipsychotic effects, reducing anxiety, helping to fight cancer, relieving nausea, treating seizures, lowering incidences of diabetes, and also promoting cardiovascular health. Realize that in 2014, Purdue Pharma received FDA approval for an opioid drug that claimed to help curb the opioid addiction. this will actually help you curb your usage of opioids as well as your reliance upon them. And remember, guys and gals, stay vigilant. Lies and share truth. This is Joe Zara, Freedom Faction, out. Yep, that's right. We're still here. Trying to make a little bit of history, trying to change a few things up, and trying to make a name for ourselves along the way. You know, I started out this stuff trying to figure out not only what was happening, but really trying to break down what we see taking place and effective solutions. And here we are. Here we are. That's all I can really say. Here we really are. The solutions evolve, as does your actions to this overwhelming force that we see amassing. And with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this segment, Factions of Freedom. We're going to be talking about basically transhumanism, biohacking, designer babies, things of this nature. Why are they trying to manipulate humanity? In our previous episode, I talked about how in 2060 they were going to try to make humanity sterile. And, you know, I'll go over an article as well about how, again, we're talking about atrazine in the water, gender-bending, hormone-blocking chemicals. These are all crazy things because we are in a spiritual war, and it's manifesting physically, and you see politics trying to catch up. You know, they say culture is downwind from politics. That's why, you know, it's a culture war. As I said before, as I said at the start of the show, it's a culture war. We are the people who decide the laws. Just because we're not organized, these people are trying to push this kind of chaos onto us. It's crazy. But because this is a spiritual war, these people are trying to scramble so many different things. You can't really have peace. You can't really have oneness. You can't really have harmony in a world as chaotic as this. And this is why I feel like, you know, we need to spend more time on episodes delving into spiritual practices to empower one another. But I digress. Let's talk about something strange, as always, on the show. Apparently, there was a lab-grown organ that developed a brain. We've talked about organoids before. We talked about how they're giving them things like LSD, magic mushrooms. They're testing these brains to see what's going on with them. But in an unexpected development, it yielded strange results to where an organ developed a brain. I think that's kind of crazy. But let's take a listen.
Growing in a lab, a kidney made by scientists from rat cells and nurtured in a special incubator. It's the first time that such a complex organ has been manufactured to order. Researchers from Massachusetts General Hospital say the kidney worked, though not as well as a natural organ.
It was the ultimate proof of principle. We were then able to take these kidneys from culture and transplant them in an animal model. So we took that final step to take the kidney out of the bioreactor and then treat it like a transplant organ, like a donor organ, and replace the native kidney in an animal with this engineered kidney.
Researchers describe in the journal Nature Medicine how they first took a kidney from a donor rat and washed away all the functioning cells, leaving only the scaffolding that gives the organ its shape. They then introduced kidney and blood vessel cells from newborn rats and grew the organ outside the body for 12 days. The new functioning kidney, growing in a lab...
Crazy. What do you even say to that? We've talked about things like human-animal chimeras, and you know, transhumanism, biohackers, grinders, people who are trying to genetically modify themselves, people who are putting implants into them. You know, all this stuff is underneath the same category, as I said before, is transhumanism. Why are they having lab-grown organs? Well, I'm glad that you guys asked that, because with human trafficking, that's one of the biggest things. Melanin and fresh organs, it's huge. You can make thousands of dollars on it. We talked about it in the past. Even had the graphic to show it. Organ harvesting and human trafficking, that is a crazy lucrative business. Do not get involved. You're basically doing deals with the devils. You're trafficking in human souls. That's dangerous. So, the technocrats, their response to this growing demand for organs is to literally come up with, to design them, to grow them, You see, this isn't, unfortunately, this is not a new practice. This is not something that is kind of shocking. But what it does show you is that they're aware that the body breaks down and that we may be deteriorating at a rapid rate. So their response to keep us, I've termed it patchwork people, Frankenstein folk, their response to this is to develop organs to where if one shuts down, you can go ahead and get another. What's fascinating about this, the idea that the organ can grow a brain, is the fact that it's acting independently on its own, saying, no, I can't function simply as an organ. I have to have something that sends the signal for me to operate properly. And this is, to me, crazy science, crazy stuff to think about. This is the future that they're trying to build for us. We've talked, what is it, David Rockefeller passed away in 2016, right? But he was on his like sixth heart transplant when he finally died. Or did he? You know, because now we're in the days of consciousness transference, bodies, cloning. You know, we really do have to think about all these things that are on the table, because this is the future that they're trying to push on to us. Now, this next video that I have for you guys, I'm not even going to play the audio for it. I'm going to go ahead and kind of describe it because it's a little bit squeamish. And basically what it is a goat that gave birth to a half pig, half human out there in the Philippines earlier this month. Crazy. And I think it's crazy. You know, it's if you go on our page, scroll back to November 20th, it's from End Times Headlines by Ricky Scaparo. It's a video. You guys can see it. And the farmer literally lays the creature out right next to a goat to kind of give people a measure, you know, of what it looks like. And it's crazy. You know, I won't lie. It's even got a navel. It's got a mouth. It's got chin. It's got what looks to be like fingers. It's got chests. It's got genitalia. It looks like a baby, and that's what's crazy, but there's just something wrong about it. And the reason I cover this is because we've talked about these types of creatures showing up in remote parts of the world all the time, these abnormal things that are born either with human faces or three eyes, two mouths, or two heads, or something strange like that. And the reason why I bring that up in this segment, apparently we didn't play that, we weren't playing that for you guys. The reason why I bring that up in this segment is because we are still talking about biohacking. If you guys, anytime I start thinking about any of this stuff, I immediately go back to the Bible. I start thinking about how they said, you know, basically we're going to pollute the bloodline. They're going to pollute the bloodline. They're polluting humanity. That's what the whole flood was for. That's what Noah's flood was about, right? Humanity became so wicked, not only mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but physically, we started to take on these characteristics. Not only did we fall away from God, but people started having intercourse with animals, having intercourse with family members, you know, incest, everything that we're starting to see today, okay? And it leads towards this. It's this general debauchery. It's this general degradation of society that we see taking place. It's part of the cycle of humanity. It's our story. Why are we talking about it in relation to half-human, half-animal creatures? It's because we don't think about what's in the chemical runoff. We don't think about what's in the water. We don't think about what we're actually feeding ourselves, our animals, and everything else. Now, my default thing when I saw this was, who actually had intercourse with that pig? Who had intercourse with that goat? You know, and unfortunately, we've heard a lot of people who do this thing. I don't get it. My point is this. We are literally ending humanity by doing these types of things and these kinds of genetic abnormalities that take place, whether it be natural or unnatural, are scary. And it's only beginning. I'll put it to you this way, and I'll get into this article about atrazine in the water. Gender-bending chemicals, gender-bending or hormone-blocking chemicals in the water, it ties into this. That's the whole transhumanist goal, is to trap our consciousness into the material world, to make us beastly. You see, they see us as subhumans. They see us as animals. And if they can turn us into animals, then they have justifiable reason to kill us, to eliminate us. This is why I talk about dehumanization. depopulation, transhumanism. Because right now, we are still humans. We are conscious, we're sentient, we're cognizant of what's going on. But if we degrade ourselves down to the point to where we're literally having intercourse with pigs, modifying our bodies, becoming he, she, shims, it's all these other things, we no longer become made in God's image. You see, we took it upon ourselves to play God and put ourselves in this position of being monsters. And that's why it's very dangerous. All this stuff is a very, very slippery slope. You know, I talked about, I'll say this and I'll get into this article. I talked about it whenever, you know, Bill de Blasio signed that Gender X bill for your birth certificate in New York. I think a lot of this too, and I'll get into this with the E. coli outbreak. A lot of this is them trying to jump the shark. As I played for you guys with that, cut it off, mute it at the head, cut it off at the pass, right? Whenever I played you that clip of the half-human, half-pig hybrid, right? Well, that's a mutation. And with the chemicals and everything else they're spraying on the food, the water, and how it's, again, bioaccumulating, how it affects us, this is going to mutate things. There are children being born without arms. There are people who are being born without certain appendages, certain organs, all of these things. But it's not being talked about. I've talked about, you know, some of the genetically modified children who are victims of Monsanto's glyphosate. I think it's taking place in Argentina. And this is not good. They are literally disrupting humanity's gene pool. Disrupting humanity. Like, it's crazy. So their response is, well, people are going to grow up in the future, and they can't really necessarily decide whether or not they'll be a boy or a girl. They might have two sets of genitalia. They might want to have two sets of genitalia, meaning they'll go out and they'll go engineer it on themselves. You see? Or they'll just be androgynous. They'll get rid of it. So they want to try to cut that off. With the technology and the way that things are, you have to understand they're trying to push us towards a even more chaotic, controlled future. Like, what we think of as normal now, give it a few years. The chaos that we see now, it's now normal. But let me get into this article right here. Report, U.S. water supply contaminated with atrazine, a hormone-disrupting herbicide. This is via Signs of the Times through RT. And we put this up on our website. I'll put the link in the description bar below. We put this up November 20th. It says, taking advantage of regulatory loopholes, U.S. water suppliers may be concealing alarmingly high concentrations of toxic herbicides in Americans' drinking water, according to a new report from the Environmental Working Group. The report found more than 30 million Americans' drinking water is contaminated with atrazine, a known endocrine and reproductive disruptor linked to increased risk of preterm births and fetal deformities. Worse, discrepancies between reported federal and state measurements of the contamination suggest that local water utilities are gaming the regulatory system to avoid reporting spikes in contamination from the increase in herbicide usage during the farming season. EPA regulations permit water utilities to report annual averages for drinking water contaminants, allowing them to mask spikes in runoff during the growing season by averaging them with low levels found during the winter, or even not to measure them during the high season at all. EWG senior science advisor Olga Nydenko accused the utilities of, quote, playing the dates game, covering up illegal levels of atrazine contamination by cleverly timing their measurements, and the report found 70% of utilities had sampled contamination outside of high usage period or reported lower contamination levels than the EPA. While the U.S. allows up to 3 parts per million ppb of atrazine in the drinking water, California classified it as a, quote, substance known to cause reproductive toxicity in 2016, and the EU banned it in 2003. Since 1993, the California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment has advised lowering the level of atrazine to 0.15 ppb based on a study linking the chemical to breast cancer in rats. EPA figures showed some utilities reported spikes as high as even 7 times the legal limit last year. Evansville, Illinois led the toxic pack with a high of 22 ppb, followed by Piqua, Ohio, which spiked to 16 ppb. And they're going on to say that federal authorities are not required to report these spikes to residents, even though a relatively uncomplicated water filter neutralizes much of the danger from the herbicide. This is why we talk about getting water filters, having a water filtration system, because of, again, the atrazine, fluoride. They're trying to put, they're trying to put another chemical in the water to protect from, they want to reduce xenophobia. They're trying to put all kinds of different things in the public tap water to, again, pacify the population, sterilize people, to desensitize them, to dehumanize them, to depopulate them, to literally turn people off. It goes beyond trying to fluoridate the pineal gland. That's the tip of the surface. You see, there's other things going on other realms. They don't even want people to have kids. And when they have kids, they want to scramble their brains. That's why all of this stuff is so dangerous. What I'm going to do for you guys now, because we're, again, talking about hormone disruption, talking about them bending genders, talking about them saying, you know what, you don't have to be a boy. You don't have to be a girl. If Jimmy, little Jimmy, if you want to wake up and be a little log, you know, if you want to be a Martian from Galaplaxius 9, my man, go ahead. You're more than fine. We support that. You should support that. It's crazy, you know, and I understand supporting an imagination, supporting creativity. It's now becoming basically popularized and institutionalized that these children, literally children, have the rights to make their own decisions as soon as they're born. I feel like that's dangerous because we're throwing kids right into the fire of politics as soon as they're born, but I digress. Recently, Celine Dion came out with a gender-neutral clothing line. She came out with a commercial where she's basically running into she's running into a hospital, right? She's trying to get to the room where all the babies are, and then she just sprinkles some black dust. Whoosh, she just blows it right from her hand onto all these babies, and they go from being boys to girls to just being whatever Celine Dion decided they are. They are now gender neutral. I'm going to play for you guys that trailer. So here is that free promotion, Celine Dion.
Oh! It's okay, it's okay. I'm Celine Dion. Our children, they are not really our children, as we are all just links in a never-ending chain that is life. For us, they are everything. But in reality, we are only a fraction of their universe. We miss the past. They dream of tomorrow. We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose. Security. I mean, oh, come on, I'm Celine Dion. I'm not spending the night in jail.
Yeah, you are. You're going to jail. Just because you're Celine Dion doesn't mean you're above the law. I would do it. I would send you to jail. Anyway, so basically for people, for our audio listeners, Celine Nunu. Wow. For our audio listeners, basically what happened, as I said before, Celine Dion broke into a hospital, jumped into that little kid's waiting room. You know, she sprinkled that dust on those kids and turned them all into little billboards, basically, for her whole little clothing line. And the idea behind that is you're no longer a boy or a girl. You're no longer a he or a she. You're no longer, you know, yourself. You know, as she said before in the video, you are, we dream of the past. They think of the future. We think we have control, sure. But really the control is in their hands. And I think there's something very important to look at, because she said, you know, the choice is theirs. And I think that's very interesting when to say that, because, you know, when you have a society that kind of indulges in this type of stuff, that it pushes it, advocates it, the choice really isn't theirs. You know, you're not like, the kids are wearing New Order. How much more obvious can it get? The choice isn't theirs whenever you're poisoning their food. The choice isn't there whenever you're reading to them, you know, as a child and drag. You know, the choice isn't theirs whenever, you know, you do this, when you break into the hospital to where you change their gender. The choice isn't theirs whenever we give them vaccines. The choice is ours. You see, and I think that's one of the crazier things that I've learned doing this, is that you don't really think of yourself that much anymore. You think of, like, who's going to come after you. You try to think about what you can do to help them get to where they need to be. And when you see people like this who are popularizing this idea that your gender, that of gender neutrality, without really looking at all the ramifications behind it, it's very dangerous. You see, we're not talking about the psychosis. We're not talking about the suicide. We're not talking about the depression, the bipolarism, like all of it, all the issues that come with what they are trying to promote. They're trying to promote a literal mental schism. You know, you got, again, they're just trying to make everybody gender neutral. This thing is crazy to me. This is transhumanism. This is transgenderism. And again, the whole idea behind it is to eliminate the idea of identity. I really need to sit down and do like a concrete broadcast of things like the divine feminine and the sacred masculine, because they are truly trying to disrupt these things. And while I'm aware of things like the Kali Yuga, the mind calendar, the paradigm shift, the shift into Aquarius, what they're trying to do, this is the politics of it. They are literally ushering in the chaos. We're supposed to be understanding the difference in genders, the difference in energetic expressions that both biochemistries emit. We're not supposed to be trying to get rid of them. That's, again, how these people operate. It is so sly, and it is crazy to think about, because it seems, gosh. I really, I get upset because I don't feel like I have like the proper vernacular, the proper way to explain how it really is like two sides of the same coin. You know, over here on the top side coin, they're saying, yes, you know, you need to pay attention to genders. You need to pay attention to the spiritual expressions, the emotional expressions, all these things. People are getting in touch with their other sides. Yeah, for sure. I totally understand that. But on the other side, you're having people say, if you don't obey these instructions of actually of respect, it's crazy. I don't have the proper way to explain it. These people are trying to, as I've always tried to explain, co-opt, hijack, or manipulate a already existing order for their own benefit. And again, like, what right does Hollywood have to tell people about acting a certain way? These are people who are literally known for having orgies, for having no morals, no rights, and yet these people are running rampant, controlling society, influencing individuals. So yes, Celine, you're going to jail. Okay, so I don't mean to, you know, freak out about this, but these are your kids. These are my kids. These are other people's kids. They don't have. It's not their right. The choice isn't theirs whenever they're victims to this type of stuff. And that's why we have to fight at every single angle to try to expose how they're biohacking bloodlines, expose how they're trying to manipulate society into a place, into a position of subservience. We have to be aware of all of our adversaries. But what's going to happen is, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about things like planned obsolescence. You know, the debate of whether or not you want to smoke weed or if you want to have a firearm. Things like an amusement tax. Apparently this was released upon Chicago gamers. You're now being taxed a little bit extra. I think that's a little bit crazy. Things like the Pentagon failing its first ever audit. And Florida coming up with their own smart city. That's right. So many more things are happening besides them trying to, you know, biohack our bloodline and really, like, manipulate us. We're going to be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. I hope you're still ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right after this. You know, I really I get up here and I try to talk about this stuff. I try to go through it in what I think of as an effective, fluid, cohesive, coherent manner. And I even try to make sometimes a joke out of it because it is so very heavy. It's not that it's not serious, and it's not that it's not life-threatening, and that this isn't stuff that we need to pay attention to. It's just like, what do you say to some of this stuff? Like, really, what do you say to this? Like, there, if you take a vaccine, you know, this is why you need to take your health into your own hands and, you know, watch, be conscious of what you eat, conscious of who you're around, conscious of your environment. You know, if you get a vaccine, because it is flu season, you know, you could end up with a disease. How do you respond to that? And some of this stuff, I know it does sound crazy. I listen to some of the replays and I'm like, wow, I need to turn it down. But at the same time, you know, no one is talking about these types of things. We really need to think as a generation and as a people where we are going. And if we continue to let these things happen, because they most assuredly will happen, we can either choose to be affected by them or be educated by them. And with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this segment, Factions of Freedom. Now, I said we're going to be talking about things like planned obsolescence. And what does that mean? That means that means nobody's using VHS players no more. That means that nobody's walking around with an iTouch, even though I have like two over here in the studio. That means nobody's walking around with CD players. Okay, planned obsolescence. You're going to be obsolete. Humanity is becoming obsolete. And that's the idea behind what I talked about with depopulation, dehumanization, and everything else. How they're trying to literally just make you as as the Khazarian Jews say, a goyim. This is why they want to make you subhuman, less than their equal, so that they can justifiably kill you and get rid of you. Your planned obsolescence, you no longer serve the purpose. The decision has been made. There will be no more humans. I should have said that in the previous segment. The decision has been made. There will be no more humans. Now we're basically talking about the technocracy and how they basically get us into it. There will be no humans in the technocracy, only transhumans. And transhumans even apply to genetically modified children, people who have had their genes disrupted and all this. We're moving into the technocracy, into this autonomous society. And so their whole thing is, well, when we have technology run everything, we can't let humans have any influence. They can't buck the system because it's disruptive. So what they have to do is to keep us under their thumb. They have to keep us pacified. They have to keep us in a state of subservience. How do they do that? Well, you have the choice. Do you defend yourself against this looming authoritarian government, or do you just smoke some weed?
Organizers say it will be late next year or in 2020 before medical marijuana will be available in Missouri. But here's a wrinkle.
If you are able to get it, get a doctor's prescription, you will no longer be able to purchase firearms, not legally, not through a gun shop.
He's right. The federal form required with each gun purchase says specifically, using or possessing marijuana is still illegal under federal law, regardless if it's okay for medicinal or recreational use in any state. Penn, a firearms instructor, says he's seen it happen to Missourians who bought pot in Colorado, where it is legal.
Came back to Missouri, went to purchase a gun, you have to have a photo ID. When we run your name through the computer, it automatically connects you with buying marijuana in Colorado.
Since dispensaries also check ID for marijuana purchases. Now, the organizers of the Medical Marijuana Amendment in Missouri acknowledge this will be an issue here, as it is in the other 31 medical marijuana states.
If you have to get a prescription, you have to go to a registered store to buy
guns or ganja. You make the choice. That's too much freedom for people. That's too much freedom. Oh, man, what? It's too much freedom. Now, I have a lot of friends around myself and here in New Mexico that have green cards. I'm not talking about, you know, just to get into the country. I'm talking about medical cards. I myself do not have a medical card. I see people take advantage of the system to where they're like, oh, you know, I suffer from depression, or I'm bipolar, or I have a joint issue, you know, and the doctor writes them a quick script, boom, they get their card, and they think they scam the system. Well, you know, not really. Because now you're in a system that knows you're smoking weed, and now you're considered an issue. You're considered a liability that limits you from being able to purchase firearms, limits you from being able to have a federal job, limits you from being able to operate heavy machinery, limits you from a number of things, my friends. So yeah, for sure, smoke the green, but realize what you're giving up. You see, people can have all kinds of different debates about, you know, all that and everything else, because if you ask me, I think people need to get away from the green these days because of things like Monsanto, Bayer, Microsoft getting involved in the medical marijuana industry. Very, very dangerous stuff going on there. It will put you in the dirt, knock you on your feet. Now, another thing to talk about in relation to amusement, fun, and having a good time, apparently Chicago PlayStation users are furious that they must now pay a 9% amusement tax. This is by Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge. It says, when they powered up their PlayStation on November 9th, gamers in the Windy City were furious to learn that they will now need to fork over 9% levy to the city every time they pay for any of the suit of online services as Chicago steps up its enforcement of its supremely unpopular amusement tax, which was expanded in 2015 to cover video games, streaming services, and other digital entertainment mediums. So imagine that. I think this is crazy. Amusement tax. You're having fun. Better give me some of that money. That's dangerous. You know, I think what I'm trying to do by segueing from medical marijuana and guns to things like PlayStation, because this is the new drug, the idea behind a lot of this stuff is is to keep their hands in the pockets of people who don't even know that they're slaves, so to speak. A lot of people who go to the casino, they don't understand how much money they're giving up. They think they're winning, for sure. People who play PlayStation, Xbox, they think they're winning, but they're giving up their time, their energy, their resources, their money. I mean, you buy a game, that's $60. Then you buy all the DLC and the Season's Pass. That's another $40. You know, there's $100 for a game there. Better hope they don't download or have like any kind of in-game currencies, you know. They look for reasons, and this is the world frame, the world that we're moving into. They look for reasons to continually extract money from you. And because people are so desensitized by smoking the marijuana, drinking all kinds, doing all the pills that we talk about, the opioid epidemic is crazy, people literally don't care. Like you got to think. You got to think. We kicked the crap out of the British because they were like, yo, we're going to tax you on your tea. And we were like, no, you're not. They're like, yes, we are. We got our guns and we kicked them out. They're like, you're not taxing us. Get your hands out of our pockets. Nowadays, we just hit okay, say, yes, I've read the user agreements. Go ahead and take my freedoms and my liberties. I don't care. Just pacify me. Just give me the pacifier. I don't get reality. Get that out of my face. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about it. And I feel like that's dangerous. Because people are more concerned about having fun than trying to ensure that we're all able to that we're all able to have fun. You know, I do this, and it sometimes seems like I don't have a life outside of it. And then I realize that my life outside of this was pretty crazy. And so you try to create a whole new life. What I'm trying to say is people don't see how they're indoctrinated. People don't see how they literally become a part of this very system. You know, they can keep you entrained. That's what entertainment is. It's entrapment. It keeps you in a zone, dazed and confused. When I get up here and I try to talk about all these things that are going on, I try to basically shake you guys awake of what's happening. I know it sounds crazy and chaotic, but we have to be aware, as I said before, closing out the previous segment, of our adversaries and all their tools, what they're really trying to do to pacify us. You see, whenever I have to fight against cat videos, when I have to fight against twerk videos, when I have to fight against random memes, you know, any NPC memes, anything like that, I'm trying to break the matrix. I'm trying to inform you with these little doses of reality. People don't want reality these days. And to close that out and start on this next segment, or this next article right here, as I talked about before, with things like Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One, the idea is to keep us in this matrix to where we don't want to get out into reality, to where we think that we are so disenfranchised from our power that we can't affect the real world. As I've tried to illustrate throughout this, culture or politics is downwind from culture. If we create a culture of enlightenment, a culture of renaissance, a culture of optimism, self-determination, and so much more, the politics will allow for us to do that. But because we are playing favorites or playing patty cake with politics, they're trying to figure out ways to keep us even more entrained. Now, you guys may have noticed throughout this entire broadcast, a lot of the articles that we've used have come from our website. That's because we have tried to step up our game, adding more content besides the episodes onto our onto our news blog feed. This next article, we put this up November 19th. It's from News Punch by Baxter Dimitri. It says the World Economic Forum is saying that mind control could turn humans into slaves. I'm pivoting off of talking about marijuana, guns, and the amusement tax brought forth by PlayStation, by Sony, to talk about that. These are all forms and ways to keep us entrained. Now they're just coming right out because they have the technology to talk about things such as mind control. At the start of the year, or towards the start of the year, I think back in April of 2018, we talked about how the Homeland Security released documents about remote mind control, how they literally have the technology down to the heart rates, everything else, the hertz. You know, how they can literally change your respiratory system, your lungs, your brain, your heart functions, all these different things because they have these type of technologies. They have it. That's why even talking about things such as directed energy weapons being used in California. That's all too familiar. People have to, again, understand the time frames that we are in. The pacification is just one aspect. Once they can get you entrained or entertained, they got you. I'm trying to break that. But we put this up November 19th. It says, despite mainstream media claims that remote mind control technology does not exist, global elites at the World Economic Forum, the mainstream media's overlords, recently discussed the emergence of remote mind control technology, and they admit that it could be used to turn humans into mind control slaves. The World Economic Forum is one of the most influential elite organizations, alongside the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission. Every year, the forum brings together some 2,500 top business leaders, international political leaders, economists, celebrities, and journalists to discuss world issues. The Board of Trustees of the World Economic Forum is composed of some of the powerful people in the world. Here are some of them. Mark Carney, Governor, Bank of England. Al Gore, Vice President of the United States from 1993 to 2001. Jim Yong Kim, President at the World Bank. Christine Lagarde, the Managing Director at the International Monetary Fund. Peter Maher, President at the International Committee of the Red Cross. And it goes on to just literally name all kinds of elites and people who are making decisions for the world. Vigilant Citizen reports, in many ways, the World Economic Forum is similar to the Bilderberg Group. In fact, Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, is a member of the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group. So basically, what they're trying to talk about in this article, go look it up on our website. We put this up November 19th, and they're talking about turning people into mind-controlled slaves. They're trying to figure out ways to get inside of your brain. We've discussed how they have patents through TVs to manipulate your nervous system. We've talked about active denial systems, how they're literally able to emit a frequency that has people run away. We are in the technocracy. We are in this time frame to where humans are seen as robots, seen as experiments, seen as things that they can manipulate. And while people don't want to think that this is the case, as I said before, this is the planned obsolescence. What happens when they have an entire population that they can control? This is why smart cities are for dumb people. But with that being said, I'm going to play for you how Florida has decided to start its own smart city. And this is part of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, to where they're having us live in harmony with the Earth. Bill Gates has bought a plot of land out there in Arizona to start his own smart city. Prince Mohammed bin Salman has bought his own piece of land. I forget where in Saudi Arabia, promising for it to be 33 times bigger than New York to do the same thing. And now we have a former NFL star starting their own smart city. It's been done in California, or it's being done in California, statewide, basically. And it's been done in Colorado. This is happening because this is the future. You see, when we talk about things like sustainable development, climate change, mass migration, all these things are staples for the future. You see, we can't. I'll play the clip for you guys, and then we'll come back talking about this.
Families are starting to move into what is being called America's first solar-powered town. Babcock Ranch is about half an hour northeast of Fort Myers, Florida. Developers are building nearly 20,000 homes for a projected 50,000 people. When the project is finished, the town is supposed to produce more energy than it consumes. Manuel Bajorquez is on a construction lift with a unique view of the massive solar field powering the community. Manuel, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Up high is really the best way to give you a sense of scale here. Just take a look at this. More than 300,000 solar panels over 440 acres. That's enough to power the town and even some surrounding areas. It's operated by Florida Power and Light on land donated by the developer of Babcock Ranch, who believes it will serve as a model for sustainability.
So you're going to give us a spin?
Let's go and give it a try.
All right.
In Sid Kitson's City of the Future, people leave their car in the garage and take rides in self-driving shuttle buses.
How far away are we from being able to do that?
I think it's a lot sooner than I think people actually understand. It's much sooner.
This autonomous vehicle, hailed with an app, is zero emissions. It's powered by electricity generated from the sun, just like the street lamps, the buildings, and the lights we used for this interview.
We want to be the most sustainable new town in the United States.
Kitson, a developer, wouldn't want it any other way. Babcock Ranch has been his passion project since 2005.
We had the advantage of a green field, a blank sheet of paper. And when you have a blank sheet of paper like this, you really can do it right from the beginning.
Is it more expensive to build this way? Is it more expensive for the consumers?
You know, it's not. It's not more expensive. The people here pay the exact same amount that everybody else pays in the Florida Power and Light Network.
A hurricane coming through and ripping apart those panels, what would happen then?
When Hurricane Irma hit Florida, the eye of the storm came right over the top of Babcock Ranch. Not one panel out of 343,000 panels were dislodged.
The town doesn't run on solar power all the time. At night, when the sun is down, it has to draw from the traditional electrical grid. Kitson says the technology for storing all that surplus energy the solar cells generate during the day is still too costly. Another problem, too many overcast days.
Clearly, if you have a number of cloudy days in a row, right, it will impact the efficiency and the available electricity that comes from the solar field.
But this is Florida.
But this is Florida. And if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes.
Right.
This month, Richard and Robin Kinley became the first residents to move in. The lake next to their house is named after them, Lake Kinley.
I thought, you know, the air is nice and clean here, and I think these type of communities are the future.
I felt very much like when I bought a Tesla back in 2013, and I said, this is definitely going to make it. And I felt the same way about Babcock Ranch.
Their first neighbors, Donna and James Avick, move in at the end of the month.
We love the innovation here. We think it's a very small planet, and we want to do our part to conserve it.
And if you're wondering, a small three-bedroom house will run you about $195,000. A two-story four-bedroom near the lake is more like $750,000. Now, 80% of the land that Kitson originally purchased will not be developed. He sold it to the state of Florida, which turned it into a wildlife preserve. Nora?
Manuel, thank you.
So a whole lot to look at there. And hey, this is the future of the city. Or this is the city of the future. You know, this is what happens whenever, I don't want to say private sector people take over or private sector people get involved, but this is what happens, you know, whenever the innovation is there, the need is there, the want is there, so people supply it. And that's what's important. You know, 50,000 people living in Babcock Ranch. Definitely go check that type of stuff out if you guys are interested. It's important. This is what I mean with the autonomous society. As you said right there in the start of the video, people literally leave their cars in the garage, hop on these autonomous buses, and they are taken to the locations that they need to be. You know, they're trying to cut down on emissions. They're trying to cut down on all this stuff. This is what I mean by Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Georgia Guidestones, Agenda 2050, living in harmony with the Earth, and understanding your carbon footprint and so much more. There's so much to look at there that it kind of does blow my mind a little bit. But to continue on the trend of smart cities and really trying to break this type of stuff down, recently Andrew Yang, a Democratic candidate and New York entrepreneur, wants to push for a government-sponsored social credit score like China. He wants to have a system like China. And I'm going to play for you guys this clip of him basically doing his campaign video. And in the background that you guys can see right now, you see that he has universal basic income. So right there, you have universal basic income as well as the social credit score system. This guy's trying to carry it in. Okay, it's right around the corner. As you're hearing them say with Babcock Ranch, this is the future community. These types of places are more common. They're going to be more common than you think. This is what's happening. This is the change. This is not planned obsolescence. Who's going to what is going to happen over the next couple of years is going to be crazy, as we already see it happening. I've tried to discuss this in so many different ways, shapes, and forms with what's going to happen with society, the socioeconomic reformation, the socio-political reformation, and people can see it happening. That's why they have to introduce these kind of radical ideas right now, because it blows my mind. But I'm going to play for you guys this quick clip of Andrew Yang for president talking about the social credit score system.
It takes,
or at least, you know, his this is just his candidate. His we'll just watch.
A lot of unconditional love to say, hey, we get universal basic income. That's unconditional basic income. That's unconditional Medicare for all. That's an unconditional end to the student debt crisis. That's what this guy's about. It's about unconditional love for ourselves, for our neighbors, for our families, for our communities, for the country.
One of my rules to live by is you have to give yourself a chance to win. I want you to imagine a world where the person who's running for president actually becomes president and then does everything they're talking about. And whether or not all of those plans would actually make an impact in your lives. And that should be the test for each and every candidate. So I'm here because I believe that this economy is broken, and it's going to get more broken for the people here in New Hampshire. And the only way to bring that value back is to actually just put it in your hands directly.
Okay, so again, I maybe it's because I have no faith in the system that when I hear people who say that, you know, they want to give us power from the system, and I just turn it off. But right there, he's talking about universal basic income, social credit score, you know, unlimited freedom provided by the government as long as you just sign up with us, and that's dangerous to me. What we're and this is unfortunate that I kind of have to, you know, have this. The standpoint, what we're seeing right now is just that, the introduction of a whole, this is the paradigm shift, this is the socioeconomic reformation, the socio-political reformation. You have these untrained people, you have these unmotivated people, you have everybody who wants to strive for something greater but cannot because society has systematically disenfranchised them from their power, and so now they see something like Andrew Yang saying, hey, you know, we can give power back to you. We can help you get back on your feet. All you have to do is sign up with these programs so we can see everything that you're doing, so we can rate what you're doing, you know, so we can penalize you for what you're doing, so we can remove benefits for you not doing things the way that we want you to do them. And again, you know, for some people that does work. I just see it as a very dangerous thing to have, as they say, unconditional money provided by the government. That's dangerous. We've seen the rise of social of universal basic income come in. Even Mark Zuckerberg has tried it. People in Stockton, California are trying it. People in Europe are trying it. It's a very, very real thing. Even Senator Bernie Sanders has talked about things like universal basic income to try to help the economy. What this does is this just expands the welfare state. This just expands people getting on these government programs and never getting off, never actually reaching to their full potential. And that's, again, what I find dangerous. You see, and that's just with the universal basic income, not even this guy trying to bring in the social credit score system. That is beyond me. So what happens if you're in some place, say, like Babcock Ranch, where everything is automated, to where everything is solar ran, to where everything is taken care of for you? You just like when you go into McDonald's, you know, you order everything off of the screen. You order it all off of a phone. You see, do you see the world I'm trying to describe to you guys? Do you see, I'm not sure if I'm able to properly describe it or doing it justice, but do you see the world that they're trying to put us in? They want to have all of these people from third world countries come in here and take advantage of the system that they're trying to continually build, while they're saying that that version of socialism didn't work. We're going to try a different one. But they're not trying to give people the leg up that they actually need. They're not trying to get them into actually any education programs, any jobs programs. Just give them welfare. They'll be all right. You see, and that's again why I find all of this kind of scary, because you see people using politics to manipulate people, to manipulate society. And I kind of want to close this out with this. I know this has been a very weird and kind of choppy episode. Blame it on Thanksgiving and the holiday season. But with these, even with some of these migrant workers, while I can respect them coming here, Amazon is taking over everything. And on top of that, they're automating everything. They're streamlining everything. There's more, unless there's jobs for engineers to take care of the robots, what's going to happen? So you have all these people coming from this third world nation who are impoverished, disenfranchised. They could be uneducated. Who knows? They're not willing to assimilate or even expand into the American system. Who knows? You see. And so we have people here in America who are trying to just barely get by, having to work two or three jobs just to get the bare minimum. And we're, I have a